Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
This episode of The Instance is brought to you by Simple Contacts, an easy and convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription or reorder your contacts from anywhere within minutes. Get $20 off your first Simple Contacts order by visiting simplecontacts.com/wow20 and enter the promo code WOW20.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 543. It is December 21st, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson. That be Garrett Weinzerl.
Arr, I be Scott. Why are we doing this?
I don't know. Pirate voices are fun. Yarr.
You're a long way from talk like a pirate.
I don't even like talk like a pirate. I don't even like that day. I hate it, kind of, because it's just the same reason I hate May the 4th be with you. I hate all that stuff. But when it comes to just talking like a pirate, I'm kind of in. I'm like all in, you know?
I think it's because, you know, May the 4th annoys me too, because every day is Star Wars Day for me. And, same thing with talking like a pirate. Every day is a chance to talk like a pirate. You don't need a day for it.
That reminds me. So there were many rumors of its demise during the year of 2018, yet still it's with us. Do you have any, have you even checked in on that Old Republic MMO in a while? Like, where's that thing at?
No.
No?
But
okay.
Here's the thing. I really want to. Yeah. I just don't have any damn time.
Hmm. I'd be curious where it's at. Like, what's it? What does it feel like? How is it? How's it rolling for people? I know there's a bunch of folks in our community that still play, and I'm curious about that. Garrett and I have some history back in the day where
that's how I met you and Dills.
Yeah, that was our whole introductory business there. Except you had me on StarCast once.
You were on StarCast once, but that led to me getting invited on your short-lived tour show, and that's how I met Dills. And had that not happened, I don't think the Angry Chicken would have happened.
Probably no Angry Chicken without it. And where would we be without
not in the form it is?
Yeah, where would we be without the Angry Chicken? We'd have other lesser, crappier podcasts to listen to about. Just kidding. I'm sure all you guys are doing great work. I have no idea. I don't listen to them. But
that was very judgmental, Scott.
Yeah, it was. I feel bad about it now. It's a bad season for this too. It's Christmas. It's supposed to be giving, and you know.
Yes. So thank you, BioWare and EA for making an MMO that didn't kill WoW, but is still hanging on. And thank you, Blizzard, for making a card game so that a show called The Angry Chicken could be born.
Yeah, there you go. Like the chicken had to be born somehow, and this was just going to be its form. But anyway, we're glad to be here. We got stuff to talk about. The Europeans are either busy with charity drives and or sick children. And so it's all on the Americans now to pull it out, just like every war.
It's almost like, you know, who would think around the holidays you would want to give back to sick kids either by taking care of them or fundraising?
Yeah. But I'd also like to point out the similarities to the European theater of the world of the Second World War real quick here. The Europeans had a lot going
very
on.
See how this gets tied in.
Specifically, those in Britain were very busy during the war because they were fighting that war and also being bombed. And there was a lot going on from the German aggression. So the British were already very engaged and it was hard to get their attention, a.k.a. Terpster. He's very busy right now. Got a lot going on. Not saying he's bombing, but you know what I mean. And then you got the French, okay, who are getting wound up in this anyway, but they're just too tired. And, I don't know. I'm just going to spend some time on the couch. And I don't know how I'm feeling. And my family's sick. And can you Americans take care of this? Think about it. That's the template.
Seems like a gross oversimplification of a major part of the world's history, Scott.
You're right. And I really only did it. So, 'cause I know Patrick listens to the show later, and I just wanted
to probably screaming at his speakers right now.
I want to just poke a little fun at our good French buddy and wish him the merriest of Christmases, one and all.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Scott. I think you should, if the podcasting thing doesn't work out, I think you have a bright future ahead of you as a history teacher.
I know, right? I feel like there's a real chance for me to spread my wings and help the youth of today understand the world of yesterday much better than they did the day before.
As long as if you're spreading your wings and flying, make sure it's sung to the tune of that band. I'm forgetting the name of.
Oh, it's
Sugar Ray.
Oh, okay. Sugar not Ray. The.
Yeah, make sure you spread your wings and fly.
Oh, that's better than I believe I can fly. I thought that's where you were gonna go.
No, R. Kelly. I was going Sugar Ray, not R. Kelly,
right?
Yeah. R. Kelly, yeah. A la Space Jam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he peed on people and videotaped it or something.
I'm not in Space Jam.
No. He kept his contract was specifically it was specifically stated, R. Kelly, please don't pee on anyone involved in the production of Space Jam. Thank you very much.
Especially Daffy Duck.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, that'd be nothing but trouble. Like this. All right, welcome to what is decidedly and often a very slow time of year for World of Warcraft news and other associated stuff. However, there is kind of a larger umbrella conversation happening across the entirety of Blizzard that is both frustrating, depressing, and interesting, maybe all at the same time. I don't know how much we'll get into that today. Probably a little bit. I feel like
it's still permeating. It's still clearing out, like blight outside of Lordaeron.
That's a good way. Yeah. Sometimes that stuff lingers. There's a few skeletons here and there. Some of the remnants of the horribleness that was that the fart in the room. But I think it's worth discussing some of that stuff. Both you and I, of course, inundated. I think in the last few weeks with stuff. Especially in light of the changes they made in the Heroes space with canceling HCC, which we'll get to a little bit later in detail. Not too much detail, but we'll talk about it. And it's larger, the larger view of Blizzard. Like, is Blizzard in a weird place right now? Are they, as some would suggest, under the thumb of Activision in a way that they haven't been before? Is there a real or even just perceived cash crunch that's making things weird there? Are they, kind of at an in-between stage on a lot of things? And are they behaving like traditional Blizzard? Are they acting like themselves, or are they sort of seemingly a little more tone-deaf than they even were with their announcement of Diablo Immortal? There's a lot of questions to be answered. I'm not sure you and I have all the answers, but I bet we have some opinions on some of that stuff, so we'll get to it. We'll
but
get
first,
to
8.1.
Yeah. Let's talk about 8.1 first. I mean, I can tell you from just sort of a general impressions point of view, I don't feel like the game changed a whole lot for me in 8.1. I feel like it's all fine. I don't know how else to explain that. And I don't mean this in like some kind of overtly negative way. I'm just kind of neutral on it. It didn't really do much for me in terms of igniting any kind of extra passion in the game or fixing things that I thought it maybe would fix. It feels like it just sort of addressed average stuff. And of course we can't headlong into the raid content till it's out. So it's not really even part of the patch. I'm curious where you're at. Cause I just don't have a lot of feelings about it. I just kind of,
I think subtle is the, the first word that comes to mind for me when I think about 8.1, it's a pretty subtle patch.
Yeah.
I like what it has added to the single player aspect of WoW in terms of the new quests that have been added, whether you're Alliance or Horde.
Mm-hmm.
The story's starting to pick back up. We actually have Sylvanas stepping foot onto freaking Zandalar for
right.
the first time this entire expansion.
Right. She exists, it turns out. She didn't just
disappear. Yeah, So the story is finally moving forward, and I'm digging it. I really liked the introduction to Darkshore. I thought that quest line was really well done. Invasions are cool. I like them.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about those. I have not actually done one yet, and was curious if that translated well and went good and feels like it did in Does it feel like it did in Legion, like the same kind of sort of thing?
To a certain degree, except now with war mode, sometimes PvP breaks out, and when that happens, it's really cool.
Oh, that's a factor I hadn't considered. I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah, because it's, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, only one is up at a given time, and it funnels both factions to the area. So
right.
If you have war mode on.
Yeah, it's game on. Now, if you're playing, like, war mode off, which is lame, you should play with war mode on, by the way. This is my, I don't have a lot of strong opinions about a lot of things, but I have a very strong opinion about war mode. Turn it on. It should be on. Your life should be in danger. That's what I like about the game right now.
Yeah, well, we're also Horde. So.
Yeah, a little bit part of the storyline and kind of the state of things. But anyway, hold on.
Civ, the living YouTube comment in chat room is very mad that I said invasions instead of incursions. Jesus Christ, how could I get that wrong?
Oh, right. No, I know what you meant. It slipped right past me as well. They were invasions in the last game, right? Or in the last game, last expansion. Weren't they, Civ the Great? Human YouTube comment.
Living YouTube comment of Civ.
Or Living YouTube comment. I love that name. Yeah, that's awesome.
Only exists to micro-correct me on the instance.
Civ's the best. Although I will remind Civ, or remind the audience, there was a time we were playing Heroes of the Storm with Civ, and he became the Dragon Knight. Okay. Now, as you know, while you're the Dragon Knight, you're meant to do some destruction, kick a dude here and there, send some fire out, beat up a fort. That's your job. Civ got inside of it, walked down to the first fort, hit his R key, and hopped out of the dragon. And that was it for that run. No more dragon. So never forget, Civ. Never forget.
Civ has left another YouTube comment of, that was 4 years ago.
It was, actually. It was a while ago. But we never forgot it. Never forget. Anyways.
Never forget.
So
the premature eject from the Dragon Knight.
Are you calling that a premature ejaculation? Is that what you're calling it?
Yes, that's exactly what, all right. What I'm calling
it. Write it down. It's truly.
We're on the same page. See, this is why we podcast together.
Truly a Christmas miracle. All right. So, what's your take on? So, those are good incursions. We like incursions. I've heard similar. I hadn't really considered war mode. That seems like the way to do it, because you're creating a much more dynamic gameplay experience. Or I suppose if you're on the less dominant side, you're just getting griefed, and perhaps that's why you're not.
Right. It doesn't happen every time. The very first one I didn't see a single damn Alliance player. But when it does happen, it's a real treat.
Are there tagging problems and issues? Like, since I haven't done one, I don't know this, but when you're tagging mobs and stuff, do you lose out on mob experience or whatever because you're...
I haven't really noticed. Not any more than I feel like when you're out doing world quests and other folks from other factions show up.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking of, because out there...
Hasn't stuck out to me, I guess, is my answer.
Yeah, that when I'm in Kul'Tiras and have war mode on, I don't even hardly ever get attacked. People are just sort of there to get their job done, and if I don't bug them, they don't bug me, kind of a relationship, a lot of times anyway. And so what it ends up being is it ends up being a problem because they're just tagging everything out there, and I can't get the credit or the XP if I'm not quick enough. So I wondered how they were going to handle that. So that's interesting. But anyway, I'm glad to hear those are good, and I assume there are people among us who are using them to level their alts and, you know, get more characters in the bin. I don't know. I'm not doing that. I'm done with alts. I'm done. I've alted myself into oblivion this expansion. I don't want to do it anymore.
I'm halfway through on my warlock.
Yeah. And that's your Alliance warlock, right?
Yeah, my Alliance warlock. Really, really enjoying it. Like, that's probably the thing I'm most excited about for 8.1 is they added a new animation for Unstable Corruption.
Yeah.
On the human warlocks, and it's so cool. It's such a good animation.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I heard about they made changes to the paladins, but I didn't know the warlocks got some love. Didn't the warlocks already? This is their expansion to have everything fixed and look nice. Right?
They got a lot of updates in Legion.
I guess so. Yeah. It just feels like this was the expansion where they got like a million new spell effects. And
all I know is I was leveling the day before 8.1 and it was old, poopy, crappy male human casting animation on Unstable Affliction. And then And then I log in the day after. I'm like, oh my God, I look like a badass.
Yeah. No, this is pretty cool. Male poopy. Male poopy animation, I think is what you call it. I like that. That might be today's show title. We'll have to see. Chat room just asked, does Scott still play that mage he boosted from 108 to 110?
Oh, in the middle of your like fever, like daydream. Like,
yeah, this was back really in sick when that happened. Whenever that was back in July, was it? Was that couldn't have been July? Was it July?
Could have been. Was it that far back?
When did I have a horrible
fever? I feel
like
it was over the summer.
I think it was. Well, whenever it was. Anyway, I can't even remember because the fever was so bad it's erased the entire memory of the whole thing. But for those who didn't hear about it on the show, in the middle of 103 fever, I got dumb and boosted 108 level mage to a 110 in preparation for the new expansion. And I don't know why I did that. It's still stupid to me. But whatever. I took him out to Zandalar, did the whole story bit, went to Stormwind, did the thing. He's the first one I used, in fact, or did this with. In fact, I did it twice because it crashed the day that the expansion landed. The server crashed or disconnected me, and I had to go do it all over again. So I actually did that entire sequence twice, and it wouldn't let me skip it the second time, even though I'd done all of it except for the final bit. And got him all the way to Zandalar, sat his butt down, and then went and worked on my Demon Hunter, and then I just never looked back. So he's still sitting there. This fat freaking panda sitting on his ass right on that little lip out there in front of the temple where no one's there yet, right? They haven't even come down with the griffins and landed and said, okay, we should get this temple going again. Like, none of that's happened. He's just sitting there.
You know, I'm just going to say it's good role play. I like to think that your panda got there and he's just like, you know what? This is crazy. I am going to be a conscientious objector.
Yeah.
I refuse. Yeah. I will not be part of this.
It's the worst Lore Walker Cho story anyone will ever tell in the future for pandas. It's bad. So
the mage Roy showed up to Zandalar and just stopped.
Just sat there and did nothing for months on end, almost 6 months.
Meditated for months on the dock.
Yeah, it's gross. So I don't know what I'm going to do with him eventually. Probably... I don't know. I don't know what my problem is. You know, and then I went crazy with alts in a way that was just stupid. And then I got to a point where I got burned out on doing alts, and now I don't even want to touch him. So what a waste of a boost. What a big, fat, freaking hairy waste.
I boosted a warrior. That was a waste of money. Not doing anything with that.
Oh, good. See, I'm not all dumb then.
No, I think we've all been there. Yeah. The chances are if you're listening to this show, you've probably done something like this in World of Warcraft.
Did you feel like... I mean, you'll pick him up sometime, right? Don't you feel like? Well, like at some point you'll go, oh.
Eventually, but yeah. Right now I'm digging on the Warlock, and I think I might go back to my Paladin for my second Horde tune.
Oh, my Lord. So, all right.
Yeah.
Paladin, really? But you'll still be tanking, or what's your plan there? I guess you can heal and tank now.
I don't like healing on Paladin. I've never really picked it up. So I'll probably just, that would probably be my go-to tank, because I really like Paladin tanking.
And you like tanking, generally.
Yeah. I've been doing damage though in the raid that we are now on break. But
oh, the Friday raid, yeah. You know, the one I couldn't go to the last three times because stuff came up. I had the busiest, crappiest schedule. I hate it. I need.
Clear the schedule for January 22nd.
Yeah, because I want to play the new content, and you guys can carry me for that last little bit I wasn't in and didn't get.
Well,
any gear
I guess
for
I technically cleared your schedule for the 25th because that's when we'll run it. You know what? That's my birthday, Scott. So for my birthday, I want you.
Oh, hey,
to be ready to raid?
Yeah,
that's what I want.
Okay, that'll be my my gift to Garrett. Garrett gift will be I'll raid and get gear for myself.
Yes.
What a glorious way to spend your time with your birthday celebrating friends. Anyway, yeah, no, that I'm genuinely looking forward to the new raid. I think everything about it that we know, that we've seen, that we've heard from everything from PTR to previews to Q&As is super strong, and it sounds great. And I think Old Deer was already pretty good. And typically, first raid of an expansion is okay. I think Old Deer was better than okay. And so that
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Had some really good fights.
Yeah. And I don't usually feel that way about the first sort of, I don't know what you call it. It's like, you know, they do these in threes and sometimes fours, but usually the first one's like offshooty and not really part of the main thing, or it's just a small taste or whatever. And it's just never the big show. And that's fine. And it's a nice lead up and it's where you get your gear to, you know, can you continue progressing and play with your friends and everything. But then the next one is like your big meaty, like, oh, okay, now we're into it. Now's the big story bits and, you know, all the really important beats in the progress of the expansion. This is when that happens. And I'm sure that that's still, you know, going to be true come January. But Uldir was a step above that other thing. I don't know why or what was going on there, but I've liked it a lot. So
yeah, yeah, I liked it, I guess. Compared to Legion, I liked it a lot more than Emerald Nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good comparison right there.
Yeah.
Emerald Nightmare was okay.
Really good boss fights.
Emerald Nightmare was more about why... you know what you could have called that whole thing for me? You could have called it, why is Malfurion such a puss? That's what that should have been called. And he's not that
maybe
anymore.
Maybe that's why I didn't like Emerald Nightmare. Maybe Emerald Nightmare is a really good raid, and I was just sick of listening to Malfurion.
I mean, he was either like stuck in a bush... Or, you know,
I think you hit it because, you know what, I think about it now, like the visuals are actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, all the creepy red webs, the eyeball boss was super sweet.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Okay. All that stuff was neat.
Maybe
it's all
now
about...
that I'm thinking of it without Malfurion. Yeah. Maybe I don't give Emerald Nightmare enough props.
It's just constant him just going, Taronda, I'm in a bush again. Freaking free me out of this thing, Taronda. Like, he's just such a weenie in that expansion. He's so cool right now. Like. That last preview thing before this patch hit was super awesome. I got jazzed about that. He's all bear form and freaking out and telling her to, you know, telling the troll dude that, what did he say? Tell Taronda to get her ass over here. Those are the exact words. What did he say?
I believe he said just tell her we're coming.
Yeah, we're
something of that nature. I don't think he got very specific.
No, and it's real brief, but it's enough to make me go, oh, okay, he's cool. Chat room reminds me that he was never in a bush in the raid. I know, but there was all the lead up where Zaxxas or whatever his name was constantly going, yes, come into my nightmare. Which one is the real Malfurion? I don't know. Either way, he's bawling like a baby and screaming Taronda's name out. He was a weenie in that game. Weenie. Total freaking tree weenie is what he was. Anyway. Malfurion the tree weenie. anything else about 8.1 that jumps out at you and says, hey, don't forget to mention me?
No, yeah. Not for me personally. I'm not a big, island expeditioner. So I haven't seen either of the two new islands.
Yeah.
I'm not in any hurry to do that. Never been one for pet battles either. So I haven't done the new pet dungeon, but, overall I like 8.1. I don't think it's earth shattering.
Right.
I really like Dungeons and Raids, and the raid's not here yet.
Right.
And I'm not mad about it either because it's freaking Christmas and I don't want a raid.
Yeah.
So
no, that's a good point.
I have the worst opinion to get like YouTube views, I guess. Cause yeah. I'm like, it's fine. There's not a lot. Well, aren't you mad? No. Cause I don't want a raid. Cause I want to go see my family at Open Presents.
Oh yeah. If you're looking for YouTube, you're looking for video views from this, not from that attitude. You're not going to get any, you got to be either super pissed or way fanboy, one or the other, forget about it. In fact, Super Piss is really the only way you get the views.
No, I think it's fine. I got to say, I like the addition of a second Warfront because it really helps with like the, I hate to use the word cadence after that JLM Brack letter, but it helps with the cadence. when we just had the one Warfront, it was strange. It was weird. And I was reminded of this because we had not Paradox on Into the Nexus last night and we got onto this off topic WoW conversation at the very end of the show. He's like, I'm not playing right now. He's like, I went to go play the Warfront. And they're like, you have to wait. And he's like, I don't have to wait. This isn't Disney. Why do I have to wait?
Yeah.
and it was interesting listening to someone who you know, is not playing it as much as I am, because he's right. It is kind of weird and dumb. But now that there's two of them, the pace seems really good in my mind.
Yeah.
Like I started to come around on it before Darkshore even opened up. Just as, I don't know, it's just a relaxing thing to go do, and it's a good way for me personally to keep up on my resources. So
yeah, that's a good point.
To me, whether they're what do you like them or you don't, I see it as extra content that we didn't have before, so it's kind of, it doesn't really bother me.
I think had the expansion launched with a couple of Warfronts that were kind of happening you know, they were alternating, so you always had one to do so that you didn't feel like you're being locked out of something, like you said, like a Disney line. I think that would have helped a lot. I think that just rubbed some people wrong. The reason I think 8.1 is landing with less of a splash, or people wish it was making a bigger splash, is that there is this weird cloud around Blizzard right now, some kind of strange stuff going on, and I think they could have really used a win, you know, like a big, loud, exciting sort of win, and I don't know that this is it. It's fine, like you say, it's fine. It's not, you know, there's just nothing earth-shattering about it. There's nothing that's going to change your life. And had it had something in there, I don't know what it would have been. Like, this is me wishing for a thing I can't even really quantify. But had it had whatever that unquantifiable thing is, you know, it might have helped this storm a little that's been going on.
So. Yeah. No, you're right. The cloud, like, it still feels weird. And it hasn't gotten better. This year's BlizzCon was funky.
Yeah.
I don't know many people came out of it supremely hyped.
Yeah.
And the hero stuff hasn't helped.
No, it kind of started with BlizzCon. Although you have to admit the Q&A was probably the best panel of the entire 2 days.
Yeah, no.
No bias.
Bias here at all.
No.
No, not at all.
No, I can't even think of why there would be any.
If anything, I think actually I'm just bear with me here. It's not an insult. I think the Q&A actually may have hurt more than it helped because Metzen arrived to remind us what Blizzard used to be like.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't thought about that because when we you know, sort of connived the idea, he and I, we weren't thinking of any of that, and it ended up being like, if you follow the comments and stuff after, it was like, oh, they had to drag Metzen out to try to improve the day, or, you know, whatever, like they had all these theories about why he was even there, let alone, you know, what the effect of it was. But the net effect was, it was like, oh yeah, that's how we used to feel when they'd get up, when he would talk, when he'd get up and do stuff, and when others would too, frankly. Like, it wasn't just a Metzen thing, but it was this reminder of a different kind of era, at least for the con, if not for the entire company. And I think that really threw people, it threw me a little even. And I say, yeah, that
I don't, it's not like you or Metzen knew going in that,
no,
there was,
we had
gonna
no
be this
idea,
this big uproar over Diablo Immortal.
No, we had no idea. I mean, obviously we had no idea. So coming into that thing, I mean, I doubt Chris even knew that Morheim was stepping down. What was that, a week before, 2 weeks before, whatever it was, 3 weeks maybe, whatever it was. I don't think he's connected in that way at all anymore. So all this stuff was just for funsies. We were just screwing around, and we just assumed same old, you know, good vibe there at BlizzCon. And instead what it was a little bit somber, and then he broke through the crust of it and made everybody freak out for a little while, and it was like, oh yeah, right, that's what we're, you know, we needed a little taste of that. And I think that's just, I don't know, it's indicative of the problem. Like, whatever's going on, it seemed to start right around or just before BlizzCon, and it just felt weird. And the Diablo Immortal thing was handled so poorly on Blizzard's part, and then handled so poorly by the community's part. Nobody was really a winner there at all. And then that sort of just, that fart hovered around the church pews for a while. And then this thing with Heroes, I actually kind of felt like was maybe a thing that was coming, but what I didn't expect is that they weren't going to communicate with their people internally before making that kind of announcement. They were all blindsided by it. And for a long time, I was in denial about that. I'm like, that's not the way Blizzard would behave. This would all have been discussed. Everybody on every level of whatever in that team, they would know, and they would be preparing for how to handle it and what the plans for the game were moving forward and what it meant to, you know, pull back from pro play and just focus on the game. Like, all of the things I thought Blizzard would do in a scenario like that, they didn't do in this case. They just dropped the bomb on everybody across the board, from community to dev team to everybody. Who knows who is aware of it? But it seems like not a lot, because a lot of them come forward and say, yeah, we didn't know. And that's just the most un-Blizzard thing I'd ever seen them do. And it really rubbed my cheese the direction it shouldn't go. Sorry, that doesn't make any sense, but it's my dumb...
No, I think directional cheese should be the episode title.
Ah, directional cheese! All right, you're right. I'm writing it in now. Directional. Cheese.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the more I the more time we spend covering Blizzard, the more I feel like I'm not sure one hand talks to the other nearly as much as we ever thought it did.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, maybe. That's the other thing is what could be happening here is not really a change. What could be happening here is we have been exposed to how it works and has always, and now we're just a little bit, we have a little piece of our innocence chopped away and flushed down the toilet, maybe.
Yeah, you know? And especially when it comes to esports, too. Like, every game has a separate esports team. It's not like the esports team is, like, part of the development team.
Right. Right.
I don't even think they're in the same building.
No, as far as I know, there's no connection there at all.
Yeah, so there's a big divide there.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I don't know. Just that part of it, the whole, you know, if every voice matters, as is stated in their motto thing, their mission statement stuff, I felt like that was a breach of that. I think that was just weirdly handled, obviously, and I don't think anyone disagrees, and it got real ugly for a few days there, and now there's just sort of this malaise of like, well, all right, what is our relationship with Blizzard? Is it special compared to someone's relationship with a developer? Have we put too much stock in that? Is this just this weird dip? Is it Activision? Is it not Activision? Like, all of these kind of questions remain, and it's frustrating because, you know, you and I are, in particular, I think, just the most dyed-in-the-wool Blizzard fanboys of all time. And everybody who's ever been a co-host on the show probably feels the same. And I've been playing their game since Warcraft 2. And, you know, when Diablo happened, that's when things got solid for me. I went, oh, this is a place I'll never leave. I'm never going to not be playing their games. I will always be in the cheering section for this company, because they're making games that I want to play, and they feel like they're making them just for me, and they established that stuff so early, that feeling, and carried it through for so long, that now that they're a giant behemoth facing real challenges in the industry, like real serious challenges in the business that they are in, and that require them to be a little quicker to evolve, a little quicker to maybe adapt to, and still trying to retain that control over quality that they've always been famous for. Like, there's a lot of stuff you can see if you just look at the bigger picture that you can see pulling them in weird directions. And so I'm trying not to be entitled about what I think Blizzard should be for me, but I've had to face those questions in the last little while, you know?
Yeah, I have too. And I'm definitely the most concerned and critical I think I've ever been at this particular moment. The thing is that at the end of the day, what I enjoy as a player of Blizzard games, nothing's really changed for me.
Yeah.
Heroes is still there. Hell, we got a balance patch 2 days ago.
Yeah. A good one too.
Right. And you know, WoW, I'm still playing WoW. Yes, 8.1 was, as I said, subtle, but again, it's selfishly syncing up with my schedule really well.
Yeah.
Like, if they put the raid out, I wouldn't be in it right now.
Right.
I don't have the time at the moment.
Right.
So all of it to me is like, for the experience of playing it, it's of all the Blizzard games that I play, it's been really solid. Short of after the most recent Hearthstone patch, I can't pick up a win, but that's a personal problem.
By the way, can we just mention that patch came in like a thief in the night? What was the deal with that?
Yes.
Like, yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning or some weird thing like that.
I was stoked about it. And, of course, like, the first reply on Twitter is like, yeah, but what about the pros? And I'm like, I'm just exhausted having to have the correct response to things. Can I just be excited once? Like, we usually, like, I could retire. Like, I'm going to be a member of AARP by the time most Hearthstone balance patches come out. That's how long it takes. So finally we got one shortly after an expansion. I just want to celebrate.
Right,
y'all can take your correct reactions and shove them up your butt.
Yeah, right up your hooter, as I like to say.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's like, sometimes it's just, I'm like, oh my god, I just want to be excited. Just let me be excited, Twitter.
Yeah, I feel like that too. And look, the funny thing is, in the, well, back to the Heroes thing for a second. In light of the follow-up response from, I never say his name right, K.O. Miller?
Oh, K.O. Milker?
Milker, not Miller.
Just K.O.
Milker.
Just call him K.O.
I'm going to call him Milker. It's Milker I'm going to call him. That's what I'm going to do.
He's a very nice guy. I'm sure he wouldn't mind you being on a first name basis.
Nicest guy ever. And he's the de facto leader of that team as far as I'm concerned, although they've never been official about who's in charge now. But anyway, his letter had me a little bit more optimistic because it implies that, A, they were all very disappointed and a little shocked themselves, which was a little bit of shade being thrown back at corporate, I felt like, in a very subtle way. But also them saying there's a real purity of purpose now in the game. They don't have to focus purely on, well, what are the pros doing? Make sure we're balanced for pro play. Make sure we're balanced for tournament play. Make sure this is happening for that. Instead, they can focus on the game, get back to the gameplay first principles that Blizzard is so known for and they claim to be known for. So actually, I'm kind of optimistic about the future of that game. Like, take away all this esports stuff and let's just, like, make a good game. That's it. Do that. If it's going to branch out from there and turn into something bigger and even compete on the stage of League and Dota 2 and that, fine, but let it do it organically. Don't try to force it, don't try to jam that square peg into a round hole from the beginning. Just make and develop and keep making a rad game. That's what I hope comes of that. So I'm not that stubborn about the future of Heroes.
I'm not either. Especially I feel like we have at least a year of about the same speed of releases that we're used to.
Yeah.
At the very least. But I've heard the same thing from a lot of listeners over on Internet Access, folks writing in just like, I'm actually excited because now they don't need to reconcile with the pro meta. It doesn't need to be a concern because it's not something that has their stamp on it.
Yeah. And I've noticed,
I mean, obviously, you know, if what a lot of folks want to happen does happen, they're going to have to start worrying about that again. Cause mm-hmm. like if community tournaments are successful and continue on indefinitely, there'll be enough clamor for the balance team to fix certain issues.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to let it get out of control.
For example, not seeing Genji in every game.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. One would hope. I mean, yeah. So I feel good about it. I feel pretty good about the future of it. I already love the game, so keep working on that, making it rad. But the whole thing did just leave a bit of a cloud over everything. And I mean everything. Like, Warcraft just feels, I don't know, weird. Everything's weird.
It's kind of got its tendrils over everything, but for me, like, the simplified version of it is, I think we're all pretty shocked when Mike left, even though it seems like, yeah, of course, he's been here for so long, but I think it was still shocking to all of us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the handoff to Jalen Brack publicly was at BlizzCon. It was the same BlizzCon where Immortal happened. It's this, you know, same BlizzCon that all of that kind of relatively negative fallout happens. And then, you know, this letter comes out with Brack's name on it, and it's just, a lot of us are wondering, is it changing? Has it truly changed? Because it feels like it has.
Well, I have a sneaky little theory. Do you want to hear my theory? This is just a Scott theory and nothing else. I'm not saying any of this.
What would
is,
you do if I said no?
Would you still do it. Us? I would mute you and still do it. No, I if you said no and had real objections, I probably wouldn't. But here's the deal. Again, I can't corroborate this. There's no, you know, this is just me. So take this as me talking. But I think Mike's departure was not just, I've been here 27 years, it's time for me to do this. I think that's always part of it, and it is certainly part of this. But I don't think that's the main reason. I think a lot of this stuff was in the chute very early on. They don't know these kind of the kinds of things we've seen, the shift away from HGC, that decision to do that, the pressure they're facing from games like Fortnite, just pushing, you know, pushing Overwatch out of the limelight that it was enjoying so much before Battle Royale suddenly became the thing everybody wanted to play. They're feeling the pressure from that. If you follow reports of everything, there's a lot of stuff across the board that isn't bringing the revenue in that they need anymore. They're not as profitable as they used to be. With that, the fact that Activision's in the same boat, they can't rely on just Call of Duty money anymore, and they really don't have a lot of stuff in the hopper. Destiny is underperforming, blah, blah, blah. I think, again, just me, that Mike was looking at a lot of this and looking at some of what they were going to have to do, and maybe to survive, they have to do some of this stuff. And I think he looked at it and went, this is no longer, this is not my Blizzard anymore. This is not how I would do this. I would rather go down with my ship than, you know, fire anyone, cancel anything, pull back on something. Like, that's just not what we do. And then he looked at the clock and went, yeah, 27 years. I think that's probably good. It's time for somebody else to do this, and they can handle all this fallout. And I don't have to worry about it. Now, I think that's had to been part of it. I think you get to BlizzCon, and you got that very awkward tribute at the beginning of BlizzCon with the cards out in the audience stuff.
Yeah, no, I forgot about that, Scott. Thank you for reminding me about how weird that was.
It was weird, and it didn't work. Now, I was kind of just barely aware of it before because I was in rehearsals for my thing and had heard discussion of this, and it was told not to say a freaking thing. So I knew it was going to be attempted. I didn't know in what way. Like, it wasn't detailed to me, but they were talking about it, and then they told me I couldn't say anything. But when it actually, and when I heard about it, I thought, oh, that's cool. They're going to do a little tribute thing, and it's heartfelt, and I think it was intended to be that way. But what ended up happening was they caught him off guard, which was part of the plan. I wanted to surprise him with it. He goes out there with Jay Allen Brack, puts his arm around Mike Morheim, and then points out to the audience and says, you made this. And if you remember, Mike's like, looked as uncomfortable as I've ever seen him. And he says, made what? What did I make? Like, it just seemed like, what? Like, really weirded out by the experience. I don't think it translated. I don't think he could see what it actually was because the lights were weird.
Like, we couldn't see it.
Like, no,
it didn't
nobody could.
On camera.
Nobody could see
like,
it. It
just looked like just white like poster board.
Yeah, it was jacked up. I think it was supposed to be some big Blizzard logo, or I don't know what it was, or Thanks Mike
or
something. I
heard it was supposed to say Thanks Mike or something of that nature.
Yeah, and I could see how, you know, I had, one of my cards had a piece of blue on it that looked like it was part of a bigger structure of blue, and you know, I'm sure it was supposed to, and it was all very last minute, and I'm not saying that the attempt was bad. Certainly it's the thought that matters, but he just seemed like, get me out of here. Get me off here at this stage. I'm done. Let's go. I want to go. Now, I'm not saying that proves anything, but I just got a vibe from it. And then it's that, you know, 20 minutes later, the Hearthstone stage doesn't work. And then 20 minutes after that, the Immortal Nightmare happens. And then it's just got weird, man. It got weird.
Yeah. I mean, any one of those things isolated wouldn't have seemed so bad. I mean they're not connected. It's not like
no
like the Blizzard gods decided to screw up the Hearthstone presentation,
right? I just can't get it out of my head that it was not just time for him to go, because 27 years is a long time, and it is. But knowing his passion for the principles that he had passion for, the things that built that company to what it would become, even though the true founder of the company had gone away after a while, and Frank Pierce just kind of receded into the background and didn't have a whole lot to do with, you know, where the company was going. Although, you know, there's probably a lot of that. I don't know. But the point is that Mike became this, like, and he was beloved there. Everybody loved him. That I do know, because everyone talks about it constantly. If you worked at Blizzard from top to bottom, you loved Mike Morheim, and you felt like he was genuinely concerned about everybody there and wanted everyone to be gainfully employed and paid properly and treated well. And like, that was his thing. And he was also very passionate about, don't release it till it's done. Gameplay first, put the game out there. If it doesn't hit right away, stick with it. Like, those principles were Mike's principles. And I'm not saying they don't have those principles at all anymore, but I think it makes a real statement for him to say, I'm stepping down now before all this poop hits the fan, before natural market conditions are going to cause us to have to stir the poop. And I'm not blaming Blizzard.
Yeah, no,
I think Blizzard tonally in a lot of ways is a little bit jacked up, the way they've handled some of this, for sure. But I also know what they're facing. It's a big, weird, strange industry shift. You know, internally they're going toward mobile a lot because that's where all the money is right now. Like, there's a lot of reasons why this stuff, you know, ruffles everybody's feathers, but I get it, right? I totally get it. It's
yeah.
just about
the thing is, you know. The way I soften the blow for myself is looking at the whole landscape. I mean, they're not the only major studio that's struggling. You already mentioned Activision, which is obviously part of part of the Blizzard conglomerate, but
right.
I mean, look at EA, especially last year. Honestly, Blizzard right now is reminding me a lot of EA last year with Battlefront 2.
Right.
It was all the headlines were about how bad Battlefront 2 was screwing up.
Yeah.
And in 2018, they have turned it around. I think Battlefront 2 has turned into a hell of a game.
Yeah, people like it.
Yeah, it's really solid. They've done a good job. But like, look at EA otherwise. Like, what else do they have? Like, yeah, they're still making their sports games, whatever. That doesn't really affect players like you and I.
No.
But outside of that, what else do they have? Well, Battlefield is not doing it for people anymore. Yeah. The last Mass Effect was a total wash. We're kind of sitting here just looking at Anthem like, hey, are you going to be the great savior? There's a lot riding on you, Anthem.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can see that slow. I mean, you can go back and track that weird slow decline of EA where you started to feel like things were not great, where you saw studios be absorbed and then not perform like they used to when they were independent. Yeah. BioWare just being one of those. And yeah, like you can track that. And what I don't want this to be the beginning of where we can track it with Blizzard. Like, I just don't. This is a very personal, selfish thing. I don't want to see it. Like, I don't want to face it. I don't want to have it be a thing. And it may not be a thing. It's just that when little stuff happens and you're like, oh, that reminds me of how some of the rest of the industry does things. Well, Blizzard, honeymoon's over. Like, I don't want to feel that way. I never want to feel that way with this company because they're more than just a company to me. They're like this beacon of how you do it and how you pull it off and how you nail it and how you make it work and how you go from nothing to something. And like, there's so much there to be admired. And I don't want to be, this is a bad comparison, but when I was in high school, junior high even, I memorized Bill Cosby records. Memorized them. Could do them all on command. Get me in the bus. Hey, Scott, do the one about the Ark and the Noah thing. Okay. And I'd do the whole thing. I'd do the whole Cosby thing, like a whole album back to front, me and my friends. It was like Monty Python for us. We just memorized it, loved it, loved it. Followed his career in the 80s. Was, you know, the whole family gather around the TV on Thursdays and watch it. I don't want to get to a place. This isn't the same, okay? I know it's not the same. Blizzard's not a freaking sexual predator that puts roofies in people's drinks and takes advantage of them. I know that, okay?
I'm just waiting to see if there's a moment where I should just walk away.
It's a bad scenario to use. But my point, I think, is made, which is I don't ever want to feel that way about this thing, this monolithic thing that I have always tied so much of myself to. And it's that, you know, fandom for people are, there's all sorts of fandoms, but there, I don't know if there's one as strong for me than my Blizzard fandom. It rivals my Star Wars fandom. It rivals my comic fandom. Any of the stuff I've been into in my entire life, really been into, stuff that shaped me, I don't think any are as potent as my Blizzard one. So I'm just a little worried about it, you know? I just want it to be good.
I am too. I mean, I've been having this concern since Ben Bread left. Because Anger Chicken changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, Into Nexus has become very successful. So I really made a very smart decision and built the cornerstone of my professional life on two games that are in major flux at the moment. So it's weird. It's like when you're in this, it is odd and it's concerning. And I mean, I would be lying if I said I wasn't looking at other things now. Like, the word pivot is just emblazoned on my brain at the moment. Like, I need to. I feel from a selfish, like, need to preserve my own quality of life side of things that I need to diversify.
Yeah,
like, that's what the Heroes thing, because even though Heroes isn't as dead as Brack's letter made it sound like it was going to be,
mm-hmm.
it kind of, whether that happens or not, it has made me realize that this all could just be pulled out from under me at the blink of an eye.
Yeah. there is that feeling of like, I've put some eggs in this basket and this basket is not as impervious to the weather as I thought it was. It's possible that basket could just fall apart. And that's true, obviously, of anything out there. But I guess what I'm saying is what I hope. Okay, so there's all the doom and gloom talk. Here's what I think could happen, and I'm very optimistic about this. overall, like the entire company, not just one game. I think Blizzard has the potential to do what they've done very recently, which is rise from the ashes like a phoenix. They had Titan go bad. That was a bad deal all around for lots of reasons and all kinds of stuff we'll never even hear about. But Titan was a $150 million investment, multi-year investment that just got straight up dropped and canceled after guts, tears, and sweat and brain power went into that thing. And from the ashes, they pulled out one of the most successful franchises in the history of Blizzard, that being Overwatch. Now, that's an internal example of it. I would like to see the entire company face down some of these shards of negativity and figure out a way to turn it around. And I think if anyone can, they can. If they can't, it'll be very disappointing. But I think that they can probably overcome this. And I feel pretty good about them doing that. There are a lot of really passionate, extremely talented people employed at Blizzard who very much want to see that happen. And they're still one of the, you know, in the industry, they're the bastion of low turnover and low layoffs and low all the stuff that plagues the rest of the industry. That's all still true. And I think that stuff can remain. So speaking of pivoting, I think they can do their own little pivot. And it will be in the right direction. That's my hope. I could be dead wrong. I could be not as right as I think I am. Maybe it's even more right than I think it will be. I don't know where it'll land. But yeah, I feel like we can still do it. That's all. That's all I want to say about that.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be the end of days for Blizzard. I mean, it hasn't been great, but we know they're if Immortal is the that's driving you nuts, we know they're working on a PC Diablo.
Yeah.
So that's still coming. So yeah, as long as it doesn't have a failure to launch like Diablo 3 at its when it first came out.
Sure.
It could be a big boon for the company, but I also think they just need something new.
Yeah, I do too. I don't know
what it is. Overwatch was great, but I think it was a little late to the party for the type of game that it was.
Yeah.
Or it is.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think it's Battle Royale. I don't think they should chase that down.
Right. Right. So real quick, I want to address this. People in the chat room are talking about is Overwatch really a success? Guys, it's a multi-billion-dollar success, okay? They spent $150 million on building Titan. That crashed around them, and they made a game out of it that is a multi-billion dollar revenue game. Now, they may not be doing killer stuff right now, and they may have not, there may be some questions about the viable future of Overwatch or why they're slow to take it in new directions or whatever. We can have all those discussions, and they're all true. But that is a bona fide, monstrous success by any measure. So I don't know why you would say that. It's a weird thing to say. Because that's an easily verifiable, we have the receipts kind of thing. And it's very successful. Now to say, well, does it mean it's more successful than Warcraft? Well, probably not. Warcraft, that's not what I mean. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying we now know they are capable of building something that launches and is extremely successful at launch. Heroes was facing an uphill battle no matter what angle you took on it, and still does. Although I kind of like now, it feels like they get to go around the hill. They don't have to go up so much, you know? They just kind of go, yeah, whatever they want to do to go up it or down it or whatever and just make it more fun. That's fine. But, you know, Hearthstone, another monumental success for Blizzard. Is it at its high point revenue-wise? Probably not, if you believe everything you hear. But it doesn't take away the fact that these are monstrously popular games and still are. So they're capable of doing it again, I think, right? And Diablo might be it. They're going to make a lot of money on Immortal. I hate to inform everybody of this. I'm not thrilled about it either, but they're going to make a lot of money from Immortal. I don't see how a huge cash infusion in that company is a bad thing. So that's a game I'm probably not going to care much about, but hot damn, I'll care about the money they make from it because it means the PC version of 4 or whatever the hell it's called that they are clearly working on is going to be amazing. Not to go back 2 months in our lives and discuss all that again.
Yeah, I think, not to simplify too much, but I think the overall point the chat was getting at is that multiple Blizzard titles are kind of at the end of their tail at the moment.
Yeah.
We don't know because they'll never tell us exact numbers, but it does seem like Hearthstone is on the downslope at the moment. Same with Overwatch. But at the same time, while WoW is experiencing, you know, some pains.
Yeah.
But
and they're different tails, right? Like WoW's long tail is multi-decade kind of tail. I think Hearthstone, Overwatch, these are quicker, shorter tails.
I think to me, I look at, you know, just from the business model, Hearthstone makes more sense to me, like in terms of its longevity than something like Overwatch, just because of the iteration cycle.
Yeah.
I mean, three expansions a year with Hearthstone, that's just, you know, three things to sell every year.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I think it may be, you know, at some point it peaks and it just sort of stays there, but I think it's consistent. I agree with that. I think that's true. I think the Overwatch guys have a serious challenge on their hands, but I think it's even made a little bit a bigger challenge given what happened with Heroes and this change in their esports focus, because I think it reflects poorly on everyone else, even though Overwatch had a very successful Overwatch League debut. That league went real well. They made a bunch of money. Everybody was happy. That wasn't a problem. It's just, it's impossible for one thing to happen on one team and not have the rest of Blizzard seem like they're affected, because it's Blizzard. You know, this isn't EA where you can say, well, Volition didn't do great this year with their one release of that other game, but good job BioWare with your other thing. Like, that feels like you can do that over there. You can pump one up and say, well, the other one kind of sucked, but this went well. But in the Blizzard cycle, it's like, no, it's if somebody's sucking it on one end, it's hard to talk about it without saying, well, what does this mean for World of Warcraft? Like, it's impossible. It's just weird. They're a weird company. And it's what's weird. What's made them great is that they're weird. And what's hurting them right now, maybe, is that they're a little weird. And they just got to find a way to pull that weird through this phase. They can do it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head much earlier when you said they just needed a win when we were talking about 8.1. They just needed an unabashed win. And that's the thing here at the end of 2018 is they just don't have one.
Nope. They do not, sir.
Like, the expansion for Hearthstone's great. But it's in the long scheme of Hearthstone, it's just another expansion. It's not completely changing the landscape of the game.
Yeah.
And you know, WoW, everyone's lukewarm at best, and nothing new's really happened in Overwatch. And then we just have what happened with Heroes, and it's just that it's all kind of happening at the same time. I think along with Morhaime leaving, new leadership, yada yada yada.
Yeah.
But it is. There are weird parallels being drawn. We talked about it on the Angry Chicken this week because Dills was saying a lot of folks were getting in his chat being like, oh, did you hear about HGC? What does this mean for Hearthstone Esports? And we're on the show, we're like, it means nothing. They just announced that there's going to be more money for Hearthstone Esports next year than there's ever been before.
Yeah.
Which of course, I think Jocelyn immediately then was like, well, I guess that's where the HGC money went. which is just like, oh... Yeah, that hurts when you think about it that
they
way.
They might have, yeah. I mean, I don't know how that money gets shifted around, but very well could.
Yeah, we have no idea how that decision is made. It's because it's all under the Blizzard umbrella, it's hard not to look at it that way, but I'm sure it's not that cut and dry. It's not like, well, we cut HGC, give Hearthstone $2 million
more. Yeah. Well, and the other thing I would just say to finish this out would be, we need to, as gamers, need to be stop being so surprised that Blizzard is going so hard into potential future mobile projects, be they the secret stuff or the ones we know about. Given the fact that I remember just a year ago, and I don't know if it's changed, probably not, EA was still saying Simpsons Tapped Out was their highest grossing property that they had. And this is true of a lot of companies. Like, what was the one Bethesda put out? The Fallout Shelter game was disgustingly profitable for the company. It's impossible for them to look at those and not, A, want to get a piece of that pie, but also to release other core mainstream PC console games that also are games as a service and also follow some of those templates to earn that kind of money. So Fallout 76, love it or hate it, is an attempt to do that. And I don't mean necessarily microtransactions, it's not what I mean, but they want to release a game where it's just sort of always on and it's weirdly MMO-like, and there'll be a revenue model attached to it that makes it last a long time. Like, if anything, they're all just catching up to the WoW idea in 2018 for all other kinds of games, and mobile has helped propel that forward. So just don't be surprised when that happens, and we've got to stop being surprised and hoping instead that what they put out is meaningful and good. If it's not, well, then I guess we're effed. But, you know, we don't know until we get it. So this has been a very good discussion, I think. And the chat room's got some really good points in there as well. I wish they were all just on here talking with us, but then it'd be a loud and annoying show and no one would listen to it. So there.
It would just sound like static.
Yeah. There you go.
We'll be talking about
things. All right. Well, let's talk a couple more quick things about 8.1. The patch blocked add-on functionality that allowed cross-faction chat. There was an add-on that let you talk to your buddies if they were, you know, opposite factions.
The intent of that add-on was for cross-faction role-playing.
Right.
And but,
so that's what they say anyway. I mean, that's like saying...
No, it's a big thing with role-players, especially right now in BFA when you have these storylines that are mixing the factions a bit.
I could see that. But I also... This is a little bit like saying... Plex is for your backing up of your own DVD collection and putting it on a hard drive so you can enjoy your films whenever you want. But really, it's for everybody sharing their stuff to a bunch of people who don't own anything, so it's kind of a big pirate scheme. It just is. It's fine.
Well, in the add-ons defense, they did have quite a few tools in there. Like, I believe it automatically shut itself off if you entered a battleground or a PvP scenario situation. You know, they so from the outside looking in, it's not something I have a lot of experience with, but from the outside looking in, it looked like they really tried their best to build it to be used as intended.
Right.
But as of 8.1, that no longer works, but they're now going to be adding an elixir to the game.
Yeah.
Where you can allow you to talk. I like that. That's RP as hell to me. Like, I love having to go buy... The idea of having to buy an elixir of tongues.
Yeah, the name, they even threw the name out. Ian Hazakostas in a Q&A threw the name out, Elixir of Tongues. It would allow you to understand the opposite faction for an amount of time. That's crazy. I'm into that idea. I think that's cool. By the way, Elixir of Tongues sounds like a whorehouse in Silver Moon. I just want to put that out there. Just a little point.
Come on in. Elixir of Tongues.
Welcome to Elixir of Tongues. Yeah, you'd have to laugh like a blood elf. Elixir of Tongues. It'll be all, and you know, and you wouldn't be able to see who's in there because it'd be a bunch of those hanging silky purple semi-translucent freaking hanky things that are all over Silver Moon.
You're talking about drapes?
Yeah, drapes. The word drapes.
Silky silk drapes. Is that a dude? Well, you really hate Blood Elves, Scott. Like,
I really do.
Crapping on their armor last episode. Mm-hmm. Now it's the drapes that are triggering you.
You mean their NPC heritage armor that we talked about last time? Yeah.
That's you mean the dope ass armor that looks sweet? Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
No problem. I look forward to other players walking up to me expecting me to give them a quest or sell them something. It'll be great.
Yeah.
It's gonna be good.
I get it.
Anyway, then also on December 14th Q&A, Azerite Armor after Battle of Dazalalor. I can't say that damn name. Say it.
Dazalalor.
Because they get the damn comma in there. Anyway, we'll drop with all traits unlocked. Artifact power will unlock things in the Heart of Azeroth instead.
This will be sometime after Dazalalor. They didn't get into specifics, but I mean, that's a big answer to get out of a Q&A.
Yeah. Actually. And it was just a kind of a throwaway comment, sort of ish. But good stuff coming. January's
that's
really.
That's how I, when they first announced this is how I kind of assumed it was going to work. I thought we were going to be unlocking traits on our necklace like an artifact weapon.
Right.
And then when they started detailing, I'm like, oh, this looks a little convoluted, but I'm in. And then I tried it. And yeah, I'm not into Azerite gear at all. But.
And sorry, chat. I meant apostrophe. I know what that is. I didn't mean a comma. Okay, I just said it wrong.
I think we've stopped the show dead in its tracks for micro corrections from the chat enough this episode.
I think so too. Your allotment of three is up. You've all your spell slots are full. You're gonna you need a long rest before you can do it again. Okay, I'm gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, you guys, I'm here to talk to you once again about our friends at Simple Contacts. The entire episode is brought to you by them. Do you find yourself dreading the annual appointment to renew your contact lens prescription? I do. Thankfully, they're Simple Contacts. I'm wearing a pair right now. A great new app that makes the time-consuming prescription renewal process, well, very simple. Simple Contacts lets you renew your prescription and reorder your brand of contact lenses from anywhere in minutes. Yeah, that's right. If you have a brand you love, they've got them. Simple Contacts brings the doctor and his office to your home. Not literally, but, you know, virtually. The vision test is designed by doctors, and every test is carefully reviewed by a doctor. Simple Contacts offers an amazing selection with every brand of lenses, and their prices are hard to beat. The eye exam is just $20, and they offer free shipping. Now, please note, Simple Contacts vision test isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye test and health exam. They only test your current prescription, and they still help you see 20/20 and renew that prescription. We don't write completely new prescriptions for eye health or examining eye health. So that's an important thing to remember. But anyway, I've loved them. They've been great. What I expected was an okay selection of brands. What I got was everybody. And I got to try some new stuff that I ended up liking more than what I used to use. And they were less money. And now I use those. And it's been great. It's simple to use. The test was super easy. And you save money compared to that office visit. All right. To save $20 on your first Simple Contacts order, go to simplecontacts.com/wow20 and enter the promo code WOW20 at checkout. That's $20 off your first Simple Contacts order when you go to simplecontacts.com/wow20 and enter that code WOW20. All right, well, while we're here, I know we've already talked about a lot of this. I really do want to know about this Hearthstone thing, so let's play this for a second. We like to look at other things going on around Blizzard. Can you tell me about this nerf that came in the middle of the night and why you're now losing every game you play? What's going on with that?
It's just because I have no idea what's good, and things that I think should be good are not working out for me, but it's irrelevant. The fact is that these are really good changes for the game.
Yeah.
And this is the fastest we have ever seen a balance update after a Hearthstone expansion has released. Typically, in my opinion, they take way too long to make changes to this game. So I more of this, please. I would like to see.
This is like 2 o'clock in the morning Irvine time. That's crazy. Like, what are they doing over there? They're all just up going, oh, is that pizza good anymore? Give me one more slice. Okay, ready? Go live. Like, it seems nuts to me that they were up that late, but whatever.
Now, the thing to note is that none of these cards are new cards from Rosticon. As a matter of fact, oh my God, two of them are as old as Hearthstone. Wild Growth and Nourish for Druids have both been nerfed.
That's crazy.
Wild Growth especially has been a sore spot of conversation, at least for us on the Anchor Chicken, for what feels like years now.
There's been that Malfurion getting nerfed again. Doesn't matter what game he's in. Always getting jacked. Well, that's good. I'm happy to hear that's a good, healthy sign for the game. That's awesome. We talked about all the hero stuff, so we'll skip that. But Overwatch did put out another of their little Christmas animation things, and it's pretty rad. So if you saw last year's, it was a little fight between Reaper and what's her freaking name? I can't think of it. Tracer. Tracer and Reaper having a little battle there. And now they're doing it again, but this time it's over cookies that were supposed to be laid out for Santa Claus, and their toys come to life again and have a big fight around the Christmas tree trying to get these cookies. And at the end, it's all happy because Reaper ends up getting a cookie as a gift, and it was real sweet. So go watch that. It's good stuff, actually. It's really well made. It's all hand-animated stop-motion stuff. And they'll probably do... They did it last year. I don't know if they will this year, but you know how you'll... what's the movie? Like, Box Trolls did it. The Kubo and the Two Strings thing, they did
it
where...
Talking about stop-motion?
Yeah, at the end... Well, I don't mean stop-motion in general, but at the end they have... In the credits, they always showed a dude working on the models, and then they would speed up that process, and you would...
They would do stop motion of the animator doing the stop motion.
Yes, that's what I was trying to get at. And they did that last year with the Overwatch mini thing. I hope they do it again with this one, because I love watching that. Because you can... The guy changes like 20 shirts for 4 seconds of film. Because
it takes days.
I know. I love it. I freaking love it. I love the dedication it takes to do stop motion. I just am... I'm enthralled by it.
Oh my God, I spent so much time watching like the making of Nightmare Before Christmas growing up.
I don't know, right? Oh my gosh, that stuff's so cool. And then when I was in high school, it was very rudimentary, but I made a bunch of these with an old video camera. In fact, I had a Star Wars one where I had Star Wars music behind it. I dubbed that in. I had stop motion Luke Skywalker. It was just an action figure fighting a giant gerbil, which was an actual gerbil I had. His name was Shadow. And Shadow the gerbil and my stop motion Luke would, so Luke would come walking in all stop motion like, but then when the gerbil would come in, that's not stop motion, it's live action. So he would just come in and, you know, Luke's not moving at all. And he would come in and I would try to create the thing that made them look like they were fighting and attacking. And in the end, I had Luke on his back and I put fake blood on his chest like he'd been killed, except it was ketchup. And the reason I did that was for two reasons. One, it looked like blood. And two, the gerbil would come over and like look like he was eating the chest of Luke Skywalker when really he's just sniffing at the ketchup. And I added like sound, crunchy sound effects and stuff. I was so proud of that.
Please dig this up and put it online.
I know I've got it somewhere. There's a box of tapes in there. I know it's in there. I just gotta go dig it out.
Make a new one with all of the Warcraft toys I know you have lying around.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. I have a giant, like, I don't know, 3.5 foot what's his name? Durotan from the movie that someone sent me. So it's like a big action figure of that guy. I could have some real fun with that dude.
There you go.
If you know what I'm saying. That didn't sound right. All right.
No, it didn't. Not at all.
There's your there's your breakdown of what's happening in the rest of
some
Blizzard.
Really steamy Durotan fan fiction coming soon from Scott Johnson.
Yeah, watch for that. Coming soon to a theater near you.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
You guys should see the town crier's hair right now. It's ridiculous. It's growing it out, and it's just like this giant curly mop of fro.
I just got mine cut because I could chew on it.
Ew. Don't be doing that. That's I mean, is that how you test it? How long's your hair, honey? Oh, hold on a sec. Let me check. Nom, nom. Oh, yeah, I can totally put it in my mouth.
Yeah, I pulled it. Got out of the shower one day. I'm like, this is in my mouth.
Yeah. Your hair is glorious, though. You should never. While it stays this way, I used to have hair like that. Just enjoy the hell out of it. Chew it. Live it. Be it. Quick email from HH is what we're going to call them. And they say this, hey guys, new listener here. Ooh, still getting new listeners. I like that. Actually, my first episode was after BlizzCon 2018. Do y'all think there will be ever be a change to dwarves wearing helmets pertaining to their beards? The most symbolic part of playing a dwarf is the beard. And so many helms hide the beard. It doesn't flow out at the bottom of the helm. Of course, some are a full face and over the chin helm, so you wouldn't have your beard coming out of the bottom. But two perfect examples are the warrior tier armor from ICC. Your beard should flow out of the bottom, and it doesn't. Also, the basic two-horned helm in different colors, your beard should definitely flow out of the bottom of those, and they don't. It drives me so crazy, I don't actually play my dwarf anymore. Or never wear a helm and miss out on some cool transmogs. Anyway, is there any way to ask this to get fixed? Well, we don't work at Blizzard, so no. But any meat on the bones for this request to Blizzard, we are pretty much stuck with it. Take care, HH.
You can tell I've never played a dwarf because this is something that would have really made.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't even talk about the best edition of 8.1 is they fixed your transmog for your glaives, right? That got fixed.
Oh my God, that's right. How did we forget about this? We've been complaining about it for months. Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. But yeah, Blizzard, fix this.
Yeah,
it's terrible. I'm helping.
It's terrible for dwarves. I agree. I didn't know this either. I played a dwarf, but I never thought about it. And I guess I'm not really looking at my front. But
I want other races to be able to have majestic beards. Like, why the hell can't humans have some crazy mountain man beard? Yeah. I don't understand why.
Yeah, the Kul Tirans at least should have some beard options. I don't like how their mustache they're mustachey, but none of the Coltarians. It's almost like their faces are made of like rubber and they're just smooth and have no pores and they can't grow hair or something. There's something about that race or that
the Coltarians.
Yeah, something about them. I mean, I know they have some facial hair options, but I feel like they'd look weird with a big bushy beard. Even though
they can get like mutton chops and stuff, can't they?
Yeah, yeah. There's just something about their chins that look like, I don't know, they're like greasy and wet. I can't explain it.
Well, they are a seafaring folk.
Sure. So they're always exposed.
They're a little
to,
round. They got a little bit of baby face going on. I know. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, they got the scurvy. That's what's going on there.
I've been playing as Alliance now, and the Coltarian children ask you if you have scurvy, and it's the best thing in the game.
Oh, they do they?
I didn't know that. It's one of their like idle, like when you click on them, one of like do you have scurvy?
Oh, wow.
I love it. It made me laugh so hard the first time it happened.
Well, if you don't have scurvy, or if you do have scurvy, will they give you like an orange or a lemon or something to help you stay
off? I
hope
so.
Okay. All right.
I hope they don't give me a lemon. That would be very unpleasant.
Lemonade, then. That'd be nice. Thank you, HH. You can send your emails in to us anytime, anywhere at theinstance@gmail.com. That's theinstance@gmail.com. And we love your emails, so please keep those coming. We get a bunch, and we don't get to always get to them all. But big thanks to HH and all of those who send those in. Yes, sir.
Real quick, HH reminded me of something that happens with my Demon Hunter that's like this and annoys me. When I put on hoods, it gets rid of my eye. What would you call it? Blindfold?
Blindfold. That's what you'd call it.
Yeah. Eye wraps.
Yeah.
My eye wraps. It hides it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Those should always be exposed with Demon Hunters, don't you think?
Yeah, because I feel like my Demon Hunter looks great with a hood on, but I want to keep the wrap around my eyes.
Yeah. And this is the only complaint I have about the hood for... My Orc Hunter likes to wear a hood because he looks cool, and he has the... What do you call it on? Just like you were talking about, the green...
Blindfold.
Yeah,
blindfold. There's the word I'm looking for. Jesus.
Jeez, I can't think of it either. Anyway, GURP likes to wear that stuff, but if you turn him around and I have cloak not visible, it looks like the back end of that hood is... It just looks like a poop emoji in the rear. Like,
yeah,
it's just
there's a lot
there.
Of hoods in the game that don't extend far enough down to connect to your chest armor, and it looks weird.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's like I can feel a cool breeze on my neck, and I don't know why. That's what's
the
going on.
The new
there.
Ones that you get from Coltiris extend far enough below.
Oh, good.
They should.
Oh, they do. Yeah. All right.
But I always display a cloak, so I could be wrong.
Well, the bottom line is fix those damn beards for dwarves. That sucks. They should. Their beards, it is a defining characteristic of a good dwarf, is a big, gnarly, freaking braided up ass beard with beer in it and stuff.
Better yet, for ones that do completely enclose the chin, could they add a graphic where it's just kind of exploding out the face hole?
Oh, I like it. Just like hanging right out of the front, like like a hermit crab waking up in the morning, just...
That's what I'd like to see. That's what we're doing. We're doing the Lord's work on
We are.
On the instance today.
That's right. Well, thank goodness someone is. That's going to do it for today's show. Big, big thanks to everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can find this and other great shows over there at the frogpants.com. And I'm trying to think. There should be a show the week before New Year's. Yeah, because I'm here. You're around. Someone's around. We'll have a show next week.
Let me look at someone. Yep. I'll be here.
I think maybe we'll do like a what do we want out of Blizzard and out of Warcraft specifically in the year 2019. And we'll try to dig a little deep into what we think about that stuff. In the meantime, you heard us talk about Angry Chicken. You heard us talk about Into the Nexus. Maybe you want to know where to get those things. So why don't you tell us, Garrett?
Well, anywhere podcasts can be found, but you can go to amove.tv to see all of that. And I'm assuming if you're listening to this, you like World of Warcraft. So you should probably go check out my solo show, R2T2. Is in Ted, which you can find by searching for R2-T2 wherever podcasts can be found. Because this week, Katie and I sat down with Taliesin and Evatel. And we just... had a really good time for over an hour just talking about being a content creating household, how BlizzCon was from a more personal standpoint. It was great. It was definitely a highlight of podcasting for me this year.
I love those guys. They're the best. They're awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
it was good. And I believe they told the story about meeting Patrick and how starstruck they were.
Oh man.
And you as well. Taliesin tells a good story about how you gave him a, an approving finger wag during, I believe, Pixels at BlizzCon 2017. And Taliesin was like, oh, yeah, Scott agrees with me.
Yeah, I totally did agree with him. Yeah, it turns out they were longtime listeners, and now they're just having a booming bit of exposure, and I think they deserve every bit of it. They're the sweetest, nicest people I've ever met. So congratulations. Yeah, that's awesome. We've talked about doing some kind of instance crossover for years, and we don't know what to do. So I will, in the meantime, will happily take what you guys did as something to listen to and to get more of those guys, because they're awesome. If you're not watching their video series and their stuff, you guys are nuts. They're great. Oh, and Civ, the human talking YouTube comment, is recommending this week's R2-T2. Look at that.
Oh, thanks, Civ.
Oh, since you have, this is the way you come out of your Dragon Knight without dying. Good job, buddy.
I think we need to play with Civ more often so we get some more up-to-date references.
Probably, yeah. I know. He'll never live that one down. It was pretty good.
Let's play PUBG sometime. I haven't played in forever.
Yeah. Or you know what? Better yet, I really like I like Blackout a lot. We should play
Blackout's great. I don't own it. I haven't bought it.
Oh,
there's so many games to spend money on right now.
Well, you heard they're doing like a little piecemeal thing where you can buy, I don't know when this hits, but you can buy it in chunks now. So if you only want Blackout, you can get that and it's a lot less.
What? This is the first time hearing about this.
Yeah, that's great, I can't remember where I heard it. I heard it on some other podcast, so I can't. It's hard for me to.
It's on sale? How much is it?
Shit. I don't know.
How much is it?
Is it on sale, right now?
What? How much?
How much is it? Where is it?
I played the demo. It was fantastic. Or the beta weekend. It was awesome.
It's really good. It's made me not. I can't play PUBG anymore because I feel like it's just a better. It's like a better, more polished PUBG. Was it 30? It was.
It's only $30 for the standard edition.
Oh, you should just totally get it. You should totally get it.
Oh, but I've really been wanting Smash Brothers. So if I'm going to pay 30, I might as well pay another 30 and get the game I really want. But
Smash Brothers. That's a hard one. Yeah. That's a hard pick. I feel you, buddy.
Guys,
I feel you.
Guys,
you're a 90s kid. He's a 90s kid. He has to have a Smash Brothers.
I just quote unquote beat Red Dead, but it looks like I probably have another 80 hours in the epilogue. So
I'm so behind on that game. I need to get back in there.
It's so good, Scott.
I just picked up. So I just they had a big sale on Mage 47, freaking Hitman 2, which I love that first one. So I picked that up, and I'm already loving that. So now I got more. I don't have time for any of this. I got time for
another,
nothing.
That's another game I wish I had more time for.
Yeah, I'm gonna play more of that. But anyway, I think it's gonna do it for us. Huge thanks, everybody, for listening today and being here live. Those who are, if you're at home, we love you too. And maybe you can come check us out live sometime as well. TheInstance.net is our website, at Instance Show on Twitter, Garrett Art on Twitter for Garrett. I'm at Scott Johnson. You can find more shows like this at frogpants.com. A small reminder that it's Christmas, and we want you guys to have the merriest of possible Christmases. Have a fantastic holiday. Enjoy yourselves. I hope you get stuff you want. And we'll be back next week with something new. Talk about the next year. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Garrett, and for the rest of you. We'll see you next time.
Goblin engineers invent a new weapon. It's the overly dramatic news. This is AccuZot. Goblin engineers announced this week the creation of a new weapon to aid our boys in green in fighting and hand-to-hand combat. We spoke to Torch Rocket Hammer Thumb, head of the Ogremar Tinkers League, about their new invention.
So Frank had this idea of creating a really long arrow that you didn't have to shoot for orc soldiers that couldn't handle a bow. He called it a spear. It took a while to catch on at first. People were cutting up their hands pretty bad. But once they understood they had to point the sharp end towards the enemy, things got a lot better.
The Tinkers League is now working on a weapon for those orcs unable to handle a spear. It's called a rock. For the Overly Dramatic News, this is AccuZot.
Please submit Buxley in triplicate. Buxley here to answer your World of Warcraft questions in this edition of Ask Buxley. This question is about changes. Dear Buxley, I went out to fight monsters Tuesday morning, and some of the things I tried today worked differently than they did yesterday. Why is that? Ah, I see you noticed the dimensional shift. Wait, you don't know about that? Well, let me back up a minute. Tuesday, otherwise known as Get Some Extra Sleep Day, has a lot of regular activity associated while you're sleeping. Vendors get replenished, flying mounts go out for late breakfast, and quest givers finally get to move around after standing in one place all week. Sometimes on Tuesdays, the entire world of Azeroth goes through a really big dimensional shift. We all move to another plane of reality that looks exactly like the last one, but things are slightly different. You old-time hunters might remember having to carry around bullets or arrows. Well, one day they were there, and the next day, poof, they're gone. That's because of the dimensional shift. Sometimes when this happens, you notice your powers change. That lightning bolt you might cast might get a little stronger. You might swing your sword and get a little bit more damage than you used to. You know, things like that. Now, why does this happen? No one knows for certain, but I have noticed that when people complain a lot, things change. But not always for the better. Sometimes powers don't get stronger. Sometimes they get weaker. Like you go to cast a fireball that did tons of damage the day before, and when you shoot it now, it comes out more like a fire pebble. When bad things happen, some people call them new embarrassing reality features. Or as most people use the initials, NERF, or NERF for short. And people do not like nerfs at all, not even for hurting. Thanks for your question! If you'd like to know what I've been up to every day, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter. If you liked the segment, please take the time and rate it on iTunes.
Time is money, friend!
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.